Hey everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the OIG Roundtable. Again, we're the OIG TV tray, coffee table. Wade's very busy, Matt. I think we're gonna have, I have to, it's funny, when you can't make it, I always turn the time, I move the time, but apparently I don't do that when Wade is away, so we're gonna.
There's some deep-seated things there we have to.
There's still love in my heart for Wade. There's still love in my heart for Wade. So, but I still got you. Matt Kachansky, retired special agent in charge from the OIG, the retired Northeast UPIC director, and my counterpart as senior director on the payment integrity side. So, you know, there's a lot of hubbub coming out. HHS just defunded. We know they defunded Hawaii a few weeks ago. The Mafugu, and they just defunded New York State. New York, I think the largest or the one of the largest, if not the
to them in California, are the largest Mufukus, yeah.
Largest Mufuku just defunded it. What does that ultimately mean? That ultimately means that HHS is withholding its share of Mufuku money that goes over. I think it's about 50%. And so that means that New York State has now seen immediately a 50% reduction. HHS and particularly the IG put out a statement saying that they're doing that because they feel that New York did not take enough action on criminal cases and the like. And I think we're going to probably see a few more of these. I think this is probably just the beginning. This is part of what HHS is looking to do to either stimulate or do something to stave off or curb some of the FWA that we see in the Medicaid space. I think generally the problem is that some of these Mufukus, Hawaii, I think, has four or five investigators or something. It's a very small number of people, but you know, Hawaii is a little different than New York. I think one of the things I saw is that Hawaii hadn't had an action in years against its, you know, against providers that were wayward. New York a little bit different. So I think that's an ongoing thing. But then the follow-up was that OIG came out with an analysis that identified that New York did not do a great job in its credentialing of providers and putting people, providers into the Medicaid program. So we want to talk about credentialing and SIUs and all of that. Credentialing is an important piece. And for those that don't fully understand the credentialing process, part of that is ensuring that when a provider is seeking to enroll in the Medicaid program, not dissimilar from the Medicare program, there is supposed to be some sort of enrollment oversight. In the Medicare space, we have something called PEO, Provider Enrollment Oversight. We here at Advise are actually intrinsically involved with that on the PEO West contract. We're doing a lot. We're doing that work now, and we have investigators that go out. And I know, you know, Matt, we've talked a lot about on-sites and all of that. It's an important piece of the puzzle, and unfortunately, it's a part that becomes a little bit of a challenge in SAUs. You know, we always say all the time, payers should not be sending investigators out to do this with their personal vehicles and all of this. But the credentialing process is an important piece of that puzzle because you have to make sure that the provider, when they submit their application, they are where they say they are. And the other piece of it is that it should be timely. If a provider is seeking to get enrolled in a payer's program, whether it be commercial or otherwise, we don't want to just have this relegated to Medicaid because this is really in the commercial space as well. The issue really is that it should be timely. You shouldn't be going out and doing an on-site or a drive-by 6, 8, 9 months after the fact, because you've potentially got 6, 8, or 9 months where if you are a nefarious provider, you're going to pump and dump, right? It's going to be like the old days of the stock pump and dumps. You're going to get in, you're going to build the crap out of the plan, and then you're going to hit the road. We saw that with the catheter cases that were going on just a couple of years ago, you know, to the tune of over $1 billion. The Medicaid wig shop that was $50,000 spikes up. A drive-by would have, you know, a quick on-site would have clearly shown that that was a problem. But talk a little about it, because, you know, we're seeing some of these problems when we're doing some of our investigations on the SIU side.
Yes. When we're dealing with, you know, the MCOs in the state of New York, the state has kind of mandated that these MCOs do their own credentialing of providers. And so, you know, a lot of them don't have the capacity to do it. And so it's neither not well done or not done at all or not done timely. And even within the providers, it's not just an entity that they have to credential. They have to do credentialing for the individual providers that are providing the services within those entities for certain services like home health. There's different credentials for each of the level of home health service provider that is there. And it's up to the plans to do that credentialing. So from an SIU perspective, we're going in sometimes and we're seeing that the people providing the services, you know, it might be Manny, Mo, and Jack that have no credentials to do those types of services, or that they've, you know, or that their license has run out or the credential is, you know, has been expired. And the plans are just way over their heads in terms of trying to keep up with all of that. And, you know, so we're trying to work as an SIU to say, hey, this should be seamless, right? That, you know, credentialing should flow into, you know, program integrity is credentialing flowing into SIU. You know, maybe we should communicate more, or we should help you out and do some of these things for you, or build up the capacity so that, you know, these things become more normalized in the operation of the plan. And,
right,
you know, we're running into some resistance in that because it's, you know, this is a compliance issue, not an SIU issue. And I get all that, but they should be flowing into each other. And I'm right. Not seeing that.
Well, this gets to the whole point that payment integrity needs to be a 360 degree view, and that someone might say, well, this is or this isn't an SIU function. This is a payment integrity function. This is an enrollment function. But really, it's part of the broader payment integrity discussion that goes on. If you have a bad provider that you let in because credentialing processes aren't strong enough, then you're now dealing with it on the SIU side, because now you have an F issue, right? You have an F issue, a fraud issue. Right. And that's where, you know, that becomes part of the thing. I mean, I know one of the things that we've been doing is as part of our PEO contract work on the Medicare side and some of our work on the SIU side here for some of our clients is, you know, are doing these on-sites and identifying, like, you know, hey, this is the address of record, and we go to this address, and, you know, it's a little bit like the early days of the OIG strike force, right? Remember when the first strike force started in Miami, they were going by locations, and it's or a dirt lot. Yep. And, you know, in other instances, you know, when they tried to export the strike force model out to other cities, like when we started to see it in Brooklyn, it was a different fraud scheme. It was a real building with real things happening. And so you have a whole other issue there, but at least from your baseline of credentialing, it's like, is this place really exist? It's a little bit like, and I know we've talked about this in some of the trainings when we've done some of our SIU trainings, and you identify that an adult daycare is at a particular address and the building is only slated to have an occupancy of 60 people, and you have adult daycares where you've got 500 people, you know, going through it. I mean, we're talking about the ability to go out and do a very basic, as part of the credentialing, on site of just even the basic of a drive-by. If you drive by and the address is not the right address, you've got an issue right there that may, you know, be predicated upon, you know, a false storefront or something like that. And then there's a little bit more, you know, you maybe don't credential that provider until you've rectified that problem. You know, maybe they started in an address and they moved, and when they moved, they just forgot to do the CHOW, the change of, you know, the change address or whatever it may be.
Or the change that, in NPPI, yeah, the NIPIS address, right. They forget to change
right.
it. But,
right.
But, you know, when I was with the UPIC, we had a great relationship with the MAC, who did the credentialing of new Medicare providers, where, you know, we shared information with them on addresses where we saw providers coming and going, but using the same address. So there was a common ownership, but these providers were just doing the whack-a-mole, you know, opening up, making money, closing up, new provider comes in, all at the same address. So we redlined that address. And then the MACs were using our information to slowball the enrollment of those until they could do the type of credentialing and on-sites that needed to be done to make sure that that place actually could provide the services it was saying it was going to provide.
Right. Well, you know, so as we wrap this, you know, kind of abridged version of this, of the roundtable up, you know, one of the things I think that is important to always remember is that, you know, once you get approved, once a provider gets approved and enrolled, they can retroactively submit claims from the date of their application, you know, once they're enrolled. I mean, that's a standard in the Medicare space. That's a standard. You know, you'd have to double check on the plan side to make sure that plan has that language in there, that you're, you know, once you're enrolled. But, you know, as we wrap up, I think it's important from a payment integrity perspective to understand that the number of nefarious providers that are looking to just bilk the system are going to be very large, regardless of, you know, this hashtag crushing fraud and all of that. A lot of that stuff is predicated upon data analytics and things that are in the retrospective space. They're not in the prospective space. And that's where, you know, we talk about prepay not being prepay anymore. We talk about it from a stop and verify, right? We've got problems with providers. It's how do we have the analytics to get these claims denied or paid appropriately, as the case may be. But, you know, I think, you know, as we wrap up, like the takeaway, Matt, is the importance of being able to have a strong credentialing program that includes human intelligence, eyes on, which is really something that is the big challenge. And I think the biggest challenge on the payer side, right, is we don't have the manpower, we don't have the budget, we don't have this, we don't have that. And that's where, and again, you know, I don't like to make the roundtable necessarily a sales piece, but that's where we have been able to make some really good inroads on some of these things.
We have a nationwide presence now that we can do these things in short order. We've got the process in place. We've got the people in place to get this stuff done. And, you know, we've shown great results, you know, in the Miami area where we did a project, and now in New York, we're starting to do some work there. Arizona, we've done work, and it's reaping the benefits of, you know, stopping it before it starts, or stopping it just after it starts, because
That's the takeaway. And, you know, what we're saying is, and we're doing it. We're doing it for a lot of our plans, and we're stopping a lot of this stuff. You know, so if you want to do hashtag crushing fraud, you know, we're crushing fraud before it even gets to the point where the fraud is occurring by that credentialing, denying providers that are not meeting the requirements of their credentialing packages. And even if it's just an error in an administrative sense, we're at least clarifying things and getting things fixed beforehand and not dealing with wayward NPI numbers or adjust changes later on. So it's an important piece. We're here to help. We want to make sure that this is done, and it's done in a timely manner. And, you know, we can help you. So you could reach out to us, you know, always through our website and through hello at advisehealth.com. Catch it on the new, you know, when you get Friday in your newsletter, you can just send us a reply back and get that. We're happy to talk to you and kind of tell you how we go about doing it. So as always, Matt, good stuff.
Thanks.
Wade,
I'll see if I can find Wade anywhere.
Yeah. Well, good to see you. We'll see you guys on the next OIG roundtable. Take care, everybody.